Back here with Eleanor Bohenik, Bill Shillingford. We were talking about the windmill projects that have been revitalized in New Jersey at the came up at the New Jersey Fisheries Council meeting the other day, Thursday, at the Galloway Township Library, the Kennedy Library in Galloway Township. Put it precisely right. I just thought that. It's going to look a lot different around here in 10 years from now. If some of that stuff goes through, I guess. I wonder how long it takes to build one of those things. Seems like it'd be a project.
Well, I don't think it takes them long to build them, but getting approval is going to be hopefully it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
But I don't think it takes them very long. Well, I mean, I guess putting the cable in is going to be the 17 miles of cable undersea. They're arguing about the depth. The state wants 3 foot, and the companies producing them want 2 foot.
Let's see, they have to watch out because otter trawlers, and they need to be aware of those kinds of sure. surf clam dredges.
They're going to close all those areas off. You know, the commercial guys are going to get hurt. The way I look at it, anyway.
Yeah, there was a. I wrote his name down, but I was trying to find it. It was in my other book. The guy from Lund's. Do you know?
Remember
him last night? Do you know what his name is?
It's Wainwright.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. I just couldn't find that song. So I got his name written down somewhere. I'm going to call him this week and see if he's, wants to come on and talk about it.
I mean, they've got to get commercial guys. Got to really get hurt. You know, I mean, they're going to get hurt worse than the recreational guys probably.
I think, yeah.
Or as much. You know, yeah. they're going to remove.
Well, that's their livelihood.
Yeah, and they're going to remove a lot of prime fishing areas. And and these fish don't go in the same areas every year. So, the commercial guys know that. The state hasn't figured that out yet. But the commercial guys know that the fish aren't found in the same areas. And, these windmills are going to wipe out thousands of square miles of productive water for them.
It's amazing the size of some of these windmills, and the blades are huge too, aren't they?
Bait Shep with a question, and he'll tackle the answer. Call 609-927-1100.
All right, Shep talking fishing back here on News Talk 1400 WOND. Eleanor Bohenik, PhD at Rutgers, member of the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council. What you do other stuff too? You do seminars and
I do. I do what's called collaborative research. I work with the commercial recreational fishing industries, and I do applied research, which is to solve industry problems. It could be a bycatch issue. It could be something that will improve the stock assessment. We would do some research on that. And we do all different species, and I've worked all over the Mid-Atlantic.
Very cool, very cool.
On a lot of different species, from squid to sea bass, summer flounder, scup.
What's the end game? What's the result? What's the purpose of it? I mean,
it depends on the project.
Yeah.
Like we just did this black sea bass hook and line survey to look at to see if we could use that recreational survey to look at some relative abundance indices for summer flounder. I mean, for sea bass, because they're at wrecks and NIMS surveys cannot fish in the wrecks to collect the data for the science. So we were going to use, this could be like an independent survey using our recreational charter boats as platforms.
Cool.
So we just finished that work. So that's one project.
Yeah. But is there a result? I mean, is there anything you found out that can be?
Well, actually you can't, we would be able to use something like that, but we only have 2 years of data, and it was a smaller study. It went from Rhode Island to North Carolina. But we will be able to eventually, you could actually use a recreational study to help with getting information. We got good information on sex ratios and some on bycatch.
Getting accurate information is kind of one of the key problems.
And we used circle hooks and J hooks. And we found the circle hooks, actually, we just put them in the rod holder since we wanted to get rid of angler bias, in anglers fishing. So they actually caught about the same ratio as the people fishing the J hook. So it was very interesting by just dead sticking the circle hook.
How about the boat does the fishing, right?
Yeah. It was very interesting.
The sea bass change sex, don't they, when
they go from female to male. But not all of them.
Oh, really?
When a big male that guards the harem on the wrecks is either killed or something happens to it or is caught or whatever, then a female will change sex.
Yeah, amazing.
And then become the dominant male and guard the harem.
Nature is really awesome sometimes, right? When these things like it's an interesting.
It's very interesting. It's an interesting lifestyle that they have, very unique.
The fact that there's no male flounders over 18 inches.
But there's not that very many.
You heard what he said. Who was that? Jeff was here last week. He said they now have data, and I can't find it, but they have data that says that male fish doesn't die off. It just stops growing.
They don't grow.
Yeah.
They
and I found nothing that can support that, but I keep looking.
He didn't use the term die out. He said stop growing like that. That's right.
And to save the flounder group, they were doing a pretty significant study up and down the coast, and they were coming up with the same thing.
Our study, actually, Rutgers.
They said
the summer flounder contributed some funds, and other groups did,
too.
What
you did? Yeah.
Yeah, some of it. Rutgers did that. Some of the researchers, and I was part of some of it, and some of it I wasn't, but yes.
All females north of here. Anything over 18 inches, I think was 98%.
Well, most of the recreational fishery is almost all female because of the size.
Size, right. Yeah. And I look at the data from my tagging goes all the way back to 81 or 82. Yeah. And you look at the data when we went in with a 13-inch size, we went because the commercial guys found the fish on a continental shelf. So they put the regulations in. 13 inches and 10 fish for recreation. Every year from that, and they increased the size as the years went on. But the population kept growing by their numbers until it got to 17 and a half. 17 and a half inches, the population by their numbers flattened out. And since 18 inches, it's been going down. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what's going on.
Amazing.
But,
Eleanor, you're saying that Rutgers started that project
federal appropriation money to start in 2010 to actually look at the summer flounder fishery.
Yeah.
And we looked at different management scenarios back then. But then we did the sex ratio data. We also got some money to do the sex ratio data. We started that. And then SEMFIS and, say, the summer flounder put money in too. And JCA did also.
Jersey Coast Anglers and the Save the Summer Flounder Fund, right? Yeah.
Yes. And SEMFIS, which is actually a commercial, put some money in to collect the discard information the other year on the sex ratio.
How long ago did that start? Did the records start?
Well, we started in 2010 with the management scenarios, but then we started sexing the fish in, like, I guess it was like 2012.
It's about the time we started hearing about this, right, Bill?
And they say the Flounder Group tried to make a presentation 2 years to the Mid-Atlantic Group, and they just sat there.
Funded some stock assessment work to say the summer flounder, and also so did SEMFIS and JCA also, and say the summer flounder, the most recent one to do the build a sex based model.
Yeah. About Rutgers has other projects, other stuff. Anything coming up? Any seminars?
Yes, there is a seminar. Doug Zemeckis. Rutgers Cooperative Extension of Ocean County will be having a whole series of seminars on fisheries and ecology of fish and whatnot. And people can sign up, and you can either go in person to the seminars, or you could listen on the internet, so you don't really have to show up. So if anyone's interested in learning about fisheries management, ecology.
He calls it iFish?
Yes, iFish.
iFish.
That's it.
He's got a seminar coming up, a series of seminars coming up middle of this month.
Yeah.
They start in January. First one doing history.
Yeah, okay, so cool.
I'll be talking about the history of fishing and the current fisheries.
Yeah. This is in Ocean County?
Yes.
At
the Rutgers Cooperative Extension Office on Waitsville Road.
Yeah, cool. What's the date? Where was that?
It's 29th, January 29th.
Yeah, it's the end of the month.
January 29th.
Oh, this month. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, January 29th.
It's on the web, too.
This.
You have the website? You might want to give it.
I will. No, I don't. I thought I had it wrote down the date.
Hey, Yeah, the Mid-Atlantic also just...
Well, the phone number you could call to his office is for to get information is 732-349-1152.
What was that again?
732-349-1152.
Okay.
The only reason I know that is because I used to work in that office.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
Well, where are you? Kind of where are you headquartered now? What's your?
I work out of Cape May.
Oh, nice. Like where?
But I work for the Haskins Shellfish Research Laboratory, and I'm the director of the Fisheries Cooperative Center. So that's where I do all. I work closely with the fishing industries, both commercial, recreational, like I said earlier. So.
And Mike, the Mid-Atlantic this past December approved a slot option.
Yes.
So now both ASMFC and the Mid-Atlantic have a slot option.
Oh, okay.
Which is
we could have one.
Yeah, could have.
But the thing they throw out is, you know, if you have a slot, then the number of days you can fish is going to go down because of the number of the total population will go down.
But see, they need to think about the weight of the smaller fish, and they need to start looking at sex
and mortality.
Yes.
Of the ones going back.
Did you say the weight of the smaller fish?
Well, if you catch a small fish, it weighs less.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep a smaller fish than if you keep a bigger legal fish. And then if you need to think about if those fish will be more males. That
what's better?
You want to have some couple. You want to start catching some more males. You don't want to catch all the females.
So some smaller fish?
Yeah. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Like how small?
Well, you know.
I mean, how small do you want? You want at least 14 inches because you want to fillet.
The commercial's 14.
You want to be able to eat the fish.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the commercial's 14. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they went to 14 inches so they wouldn't kill so many.
Well, they also have they have a bigger net.
Bigger net now, but the overall concept was to reduce the mortality on the commercial boats. And they're not doing anything to reduce the mortality on the recreational boats. Other than just keep saying it's 10% and
ten percent discard mortality. Yeah. They assume,
and I've estimated it 30. And the American Littoral Society in July is reporting it as high as 60 because of the water temperature. They don't survive in the warmer water.
So you're saying 10%?
That's too high. I think 60. Where did they get that from? I haven't seen that. Published research.
American Littoral Society.
Yeah, but I haven't seen that published research.
Jeff put it out. Jeff DeMint put it out.
I don't know. I can't say. I haven't seen any literature on that.
So we're saying 10%
of the fish. Still using studies from the 1980s for discard mortality for summer flounder.
And that's 10%?
Yeah, that's what they use.
Yeah. So 10% of all flounder.
All the fish that recreational throw back are assumed to die.
Wow. How about that?
And that counts against.
Is that high compared to say other species, or some species?
We don't. I mean, it's not. Well, but our fishery has changed a lot too. That was when it was totally a bait fishery. Now we use a lot of different we use a lot of jigging.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to revisit that.
Yeah.
We tried to put in a couple projects. We haven't been able to get them funded yet to look at what the discard mortality would be now with offshore jigging in deeper water.
How's Rutgers doing on some of these programs? look at the smile. Sounds like you're active, and you know
we have to apply for grants to do the research. Oh yeah, we're very active in both fisheries management.
Ken Abel,
yes, he's into the ecology.
Yeah,
he's fisheries ecologist in early life history. He's a world renowned expert.
Yeah, whenever somebody sends me a picture of a fish that I can't identify. I sent it to him, and he gets back to me pretty good. Also, do Mark Sullivan over at Stockton too, so it's Stockton's starting to have a little clout like Rutgers does.
Yeah, they have but they mostly have undergraduate. So, but they have a nice they have a marine science program there.
Like students doing
yes,
it. Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, so Rutgers do they have? What, trawls going this time of the year? I mean,
we don't do trawl surveys. The New Jersey DEP does.
Okay.
They handle all their trawl surveys.
So you get the information from them, or do you need it?
Well, sometimes it depends on what our project is. We could use some of their trawl survey data when we were doing our sex data. We took what because they sex the summer flounder, so we used some of their data. But they do their own trawl surveys. They do a lot of different surveys.
The thing that annoys me and has for years is that the fishermen don't show up.
Nobody
in these meetings.
There.
It's and if you shame. Talk to the fishermen and say, well, we but, can't make a difference.
Yeah.
I say, you're not going to hit a ball out of the park every time, but you got to get your points across and you can make a difference.
Yeah. And they also, we need advisors to our different committees on the New Jersey Marine Fish Council. So if you like to fish for summer flounder, you should put in an application to be an advisor.
On a board.
To be an advisor to the Marine Fish Council and help set the regulations.
Yeah.
But that seems to be a mess too, because every meeting I go to, they can't get enough. They don't have an up to date list of who's the advisors are. It happened just here. This meeting, you heard it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well.
Come on.
Eleanor has to stay quiet.
I understand that. I don't though. They set up these advisors, and then you go from meeting to meeting, and they don't meet. They got to wait another meeting, and everything keeps getting delayed.
Yeah.
And that's
I used to
when I first started attending those meetings, when I first became an advisor for the ASMFC, that meeting was much more structured, and it was much more effective. But over the years, you just watered down. I mean, it's I'm sorry. That's the state of New Jersey, I guess.
Yeah. Seems to me, look, that we ought to take at those meetings, at the meeting like Thursday night, we ought to take public opinion more into the decision making process than it seems like we do. Just seems to me like if two or three people stand up and say we want flounder season as such and such and such and such, and they've had these board meetings. And then somebody's saying, well, we at the board meeting, we said it's going to be like this. And, I mean, it seems to me like the public ought to be a little bit more interested.
I sat in a meeting in Delaware as the American Electoral Society was making a presentation. This is like maybe 3 years ago. And that meeting was so structured, it was unbelievable. Okay. Mm. And everything that the council was talking about, the data that the council had in front of them, it was available to the audience. But it was very structured. It was very effective, and the time limits were such, and the public comments, everything was recorded. Every public comment was recorded,
published.
It was published when they put the minutes out. Yeah. You try to find the minutes for these things, you can't find them.
No, it's a shame.
It's. Unfortunately, states surrounding New Jersey are much more effective than New Jersey is. That's my opinion, and you're getting me worked up.
Well, what's coming up? Anything? Where do we have to? Here's one thing that I want to mention. The president signed the Modern Fish Act.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Go ahead. Talk about the Modern Fish Act.
Yeah, I'm just going to say he signed that, but. As Bill has mentioned a couple times, that went back and had a few changes, and it seems to be oriented toward the Gulf of Mexico, or had more profound effect down there. The
bill that the House had was a broader, would have had probably an immediate impact on South Jersey. When I went back, when the Senate came up with a bill, it was structured primarily towards the Gulf of Mexico. Then they went in the committee and they came out with what I think is a weakened bill. But it is an improvement. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's an improvement. But how it will affect New Jersey will probably take a year or maybe two to see just what effect it is. They've got to write all the regulations and all that other nonsense they do.
Just in time for the fresh windmills.
Yeah.
See, I'm joking. Yeah, I'm working on you, man. he's laughing instead of coming back strong.
But in March we'll set the regulations for the recreational fishery for sea bass and summer flounder. So people,
I don't think you'll set sea bass. I think the sea bass is going to be delayed, based on what I heard at the meeting the other day. I was listening to the ASMFC meeting back in December, and. They indicated that they would be making decisions on sea bass until, late April, early May, because there's no season for them until then.
Well, actually, they opened the February season, but we're not having that in New Jersey.
We don't have a February, no.
But no, you but catch, them, catch them in other places, other areas.
In Virginia, states, Virginia does it.
Yeah, the yeah. states are
But that, there's a lot of caveats they have to keep. Know, yeah. They have to keep track of all the fish, yeah. and we would lose a lot of days
right.
of the, fishing in
the end, right?
And our season, would be really short if we
yeah,
did a
right.
a winter fishery.
Right.
It would help to charter party boats, but.
Yeah. All right, got 1 minute left. Thank you guys for coming in. Happy New Year, even a few days late.
Now, it's the, now
you watch Eagles game tomorrow, anybody?
Yeah, yeah probably watch some of it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Chicago is pretty tough, man. Right?
Yeah.
Chicago's pretty tough.
And they're in Chicago. It'll yeah. be a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll
be. Yeah.
yeah. All right, yeah,
fishermen need to stay involved. This is right. this is not the time for fishermen to go to sleep. They need to stay awake and pay attention to what's going on and provide their input. No, they don't have to. They don't have to be in the meetings, but they can. They can certainly
last thing.
Send
last message to anybody.
Well, I agree with Bill. Fishermen yeah. need to be involved, and they need to watch and learn about the windmills and
yeah.
see how they're going to affect yeah. their recreational industry.
Sure will.
See what the impact would be because. Okay. There'll be cumulative impacts when you build that many that are proposed off of our coast. It's almost the entire coast.
Difficult or impossible to have recreational fishing boats or commercial fishing boats go through that. I mean, my goodness, it would be like a barrier almost.
And,
like
and they're not going to let you get...
I can't possibly be like that.
You're not going to let you get close to those pylons.
That's what I was thinking.
Because like they do in a Gulf, you can fish right up to an oil derrick. But you're not going to be able to do that with these things.
Really? We don't know, though. No one will get. No one gives anyone an answer when they ask those questions. The Coast Guard says they don't have a problem, but it's not going to. It's not going to be up to the Coast Guard.
Coast Guard won't have a problem with what, like
them fishing near them.
Oh, I see.
Okay. But they're not the ones who are gonna. And if there's just one accident, no one's gonna fish near them.
Yeah. Well, like you said, it's all...
Because if a boat breaks down and they're 0.7 miles apart, that doesn't give you much time to try to...
get the problem fixed. Should be...
Before you crash into one.
Yeah. I'm not going to go into the scenarios, but I could see people clinging to them.
They produce an electromagnetic field that does impact mammals and sharks and rays. We don't know what other... They did some studies in Europe, and they actually congregate. Crabs will congregate along those electromagnetic fields.
And they'll survive?
I just know that they like to hang.
The study said they congregated, but it didn't go into whether they were surviving or not, or whether they were spawning or not.
No, it didn't say any of that. It just said they congregate near them.
But, the key is that, if you fish, you need to stay involved with what's going on and voice opinion. There are public hearings going on. They don't publicize them very well. You got to search to find them.
Who runs them?
The states run them. The DEP runs them, I think.
The BPU does some, and then BOEM, which is the federal agency. Bureau of Ocean and Energy Management.
But you got to search to find the meeting schedules. I mean, they're hard. They don't publicize them very well.
There is going to be one for the fishing industry sometime.
Yeah.
Either January, sometime this year, early this year.
But they haven't identified
where. There's no date. I don't know who's going to run it.
They haven't identified where yet.
No. So we'll should announce when we hear when it is, in case people want to go.
Talk about people wanting to go. I was a little disappointed at the crowd last night. I'm thinking that at the, what night? Thursday night at the
Marine Fish Council meeting.
15, 16 people.
Yeah, but you think
there's not much going on in January.
Nothing going on.
January meeting, there was nothing to vote on. There was nothing contentious.
Nothing really happening.
March will be the regulations.
Yes.
And that'll be in Stafford Township.
Yeah. Is it 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock there?
5 o'clock. They start every other month.
Yeah.
The team meetings coming up will be the first 2 weeks in February. ASMFC is, I think, the first week, and Mid-Atlantic is the second week, and then they'll come out with recommendations for poundage. And then the states have to come up with a plan.
Black sea bass and summer flounder are key issues, I know.
Yeah. Summer flounder looks like it might be the status quo.
Somebody mentioned that.
They said that at the meeting.
A couple times at the meeting, yeah.
But summer flounder, they say we could get a 16% increase, but we have to wait to see what the stock assessment results show.
That's what Bill has been saying. Bill's been saying.
We need the report, see the report.
And that 19-inch size limit is still out there on the table.
Yeah, which is not good.
Because you're not going to, nobody in this state's going to fight for an 18-inch size like they did last year.